All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Interoperability Standards Workgroup meeting. I'm Seth Pazinski with ONC, and I want to thank everybody for joining today. I'll be serving as the designated federal officer for today's call on behalf of Wendy Noboa. And as a reminder, all workgroup meetings are open to the public, and public feedback is welcome throughout. Members of the public can type their comments in the Zoom chat feature throughout the meeting. There will be time towards the end of the agenda to make verbal comments from the public as well. And we're going to start off our meeting with roll call of the workgroup members. So when I say your name, if you could please indicate that you're present. And I will start with the co-chairs, Sarah DeSilvi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Steve Eichner.
Present. Good morning.
Morning. Pooja Babra.
Good morning. I'm here.
Ricky Bloomfield.
Good morning.
Mandel Briggs Melanson.
Hans
Bootendijk. Sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
I was just noting that Mandel wrote ahead that she would not be able to attend.
Okay, thank you. Hans Bootendijk. Keith Campbell. Christina Caraballo.
Present.
Grace Cordovano.
Here, good morning.
Good morning. Raj Dash.
Here, good morning. Good
morning. Derek DeYoung. Lee Fleischer. Hannah Galvin, a message that she was going to be absent for today's call. Raj Gavarti. Jim Jurgis. Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hung Liu.
Good morning.
Good morning. Anna McAllister. Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning.
Good morning. Aaron Neinstein. Kiki Loma Ashunkantan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Rochelle Prosser.
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. Mark Savage.
Good morning.
Good morning. Phil Sutherland.
Good morning.
Good morning. Shelley Spiro.
Good morning.
Good morning. Zeynep Zumar King. And Naresh Sundar Rajwan. Naresh, if you're on, you're on mute. I see that you have joined. Okay. With that, that completes our roll call for today. I want to thank you, and please join me in welcoming Sarah and Ike for their opening remarks.
Ike, would you like to go first, or do you want me to start?
I'll go for it, please.
I'm just going to really, again, welcome you all to the work of our ISWG. I hope you all were not too overwhelmed by the homework that we sent in advance. Really, it was trying to make sure that you all had the historical information that you'd need to commence our work today. We are very much looking forward to the work of this year's ISWG and going to make sure that by the end of this meeting, at least every single person in this work group has an understanding of the process so that we can make sure your wisdom is laid to bear on the task at hand. Ike?
I'd like to just echo what my co-chair said, and we're excited to get this stuff going. We've got some really good material to work with, and hopefully we'll get stuff done and get a set of recommendations prepared for ITEC.
Thank you so much. All right, back to you, Seth. Do you want me to review the agenda, Seth? Would that be helpful?
Yes, that'd be great. Thanks.
Okay. we wanted to spend a little bit of time today reviewing past high-tech recommendations again, because there were lots of really thoughtful comments in the chat with new members trying to understand context. And we talked a lot about the cycle of elevating things from level two up into a formal USCDI recommendations. And then Al will go over workgroup planning and review of resources and how the work really happens. We'll go through some workgroup discussions. We did have some questions for you that we sent in the homework. One of the things we want to make sure, just from a timing perspective, is if there are external members that are in the ecosystem that we want to make sure we bring into our group to help us lay evidence and context to some of our conversations. We want to identify them early. We sent that in the email, but also we'll be discussing that a little bit today. Then we'll go into public comment and then we'll adjourn. Any questions on the agenda? All right, okay. Next slide. All right, next slide. This, Ivy, would you like to cover this or do you want me to go?
I'll go for it.
Okay. every time we commence our meeting, we do remind ourselves of the charge, right? So our charge as the Interoperability Standards Workgroup is to review and provide recommendations on the draft of United States Core Data for Interoperability version 5. Specifically, it is to evaluate the draft from all of our points of expertise, and really as a diverse group of people here with lots of really critical perspectives, from patient perspectives and pharmacy and laboratory and clinical perspectives and different roles within the clinical ecosystem. And then to comment on evaluate that draft V5 for the new data classes and elements from draft USCDI V5 that should be considered for the final USCDI V5 release. And then to discuss any level two data classes and elements not included in draft USCDI V5 that should be considered for the final USCDI V5 release. And again, trying to orient new members to the process, understanding how frankly overwhelming it was to come in last year as a new member and a co-chair. It really can be helpful to review the last year's transmittal letter on those level two data classes that we discussed last year and see if they're appropriate for reconsideration this year. All of this is due by April 11th, and so that we can transfer our recommendations to HITECH for consideration. Any questions on the charge, or Ike, did I leave anything out that you want to add context to?
I think you hit it all beautifully.
Wonderful. Any questions from the community on the charge? All right, next slide. And then, so we're going to again just briefly discuss some context. And then we'll go through to the bulk of the presentation is Al presenting on how the work gets done. And then we'll have open discussion at the end, both with internally within an ISWG and then opening it up for public comment. Next slide. Oh, I don't think there's actually no slides. My apologies. I might have thought there were slides in there, but mostly we just wanted to make sure that the ecosystem was aware of those past, transmittal letter and past ISWG recommendations and past HITECH recommendations, as evidenced by the logos on the USCDI elements. Seth, am I missing anything? Just making sure.
Yeah, we can, in a cell, maybe if you can pull up the Google working document that just shows the crosswalk that was put together. So what ONC did was take a look at all of the past HITECH recommendations from prior USCDI versions and how those recommendations have translated into from last year into the final version 4 of USCDI, or now into the draft version 5, which obviously is not final at this point, but that's just a way for folks to familiarize yourself with how the past HITECH work has translated into the most recent versions of USCDI. So I'll give a chance if Sarah or Ike, if there's anything in particular you want to highlight but also offer Al Taylor if there's anything in particular that you want to highlight on this background information initially, and then maybe we can pause and see if folks have any questions about this.
The only thing I want to note is the specific elements that were discussed. And again, my apologies for forgetting that we asked for this. The specific elements that were in discussion when we presented draft USCDI last week, we had conversation regarding the elements that came out of gender harmony. And also in the chat was a conversation regarding the diagnostic imaging elements that were discussed last year in ISWG. And so this table can be really helpful context for seeing how those conversations have been discussed in past ISWGs or recommended in past transmittal letters. And I really want to, from a time and ease perspective, it may be appropriate to directly reference our a past recommendation, for instance, on those level formerly level two gender harmony aligned, like pronoun elements and name elements and sexual clinical use elements. It might be wise to just look back at what we said last year and see if it's appropriate. And if we all accept it, we can include it and then go forward. And if not, of course, we can always have further discussion, but it might be, it might save time and aid in efficiency to reference the labor of past work groups. Ike, anything else to say on that?
Well, just to build on that, we can certainly use past work as a reference. And we not only can we reflect exactly comments that were made in previous years, but we can certainly use that as a foundation. If things have changed in the last year, last couple of years, we can certainly reflect that change on any recommendation we might put going forward. So the past work is obviously a point in time, and we know the environment has changed subsequent. So we've got some flexibility there. It's not, we have to pick up and just move over. We can use it as foundation.
Thank you, Ike. Mark?
Thanks. I just want to lift up a comment that's been in the chat I think on the past meeting. It's great to have this. I appreciate it. It's also will be very helpful for us as a work group to hear why past work didn't make it through over the hurdle. We don't necessarily know that, and we always give our best, and it ends up being a unanimous unanimous recommendation from HITACH. So some feedback that lets us know where the points of concern or whatever are will be really helpful for us to be successful here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. So I hear on one thing, and again, my apologies, not pronouncing up well, the benefit of this resource, especially for new members who don't hold the history in their mind, which is great that it's seen as something that can assist us. Of course, Ike and I can't answer the why those things weren't included perspective. We also hear, Ike echoing was really important, like the process. It wouldn't be that the past recommendations would be automatically included, but they might save us some labor and serve as a reference to refine and to go forward with recommendations for 2024. Al, anything else you want to say on this resource or on Mark's and comments and what's Grace and Stephen Lane are elevating in the chat?
I'm sorry, I haven't looked at the whole chat, but to Mark's comment, I just want to reiterate what I said last week to the same comment, and that's all of the data elements that were considered, which really was the whole universe of level two data elements, including recent submissions and past submissions, were taken into account. Once we had those, all those data elements under consideration, 120 some data elements that were level two, we applied the prioritization criteria that we've shown. And we had to select a relatively small list. And the main reason that some of these data elements did not get in was because they didn't meet, they just missed out on being on the short list. There were some that we consider more to be more narrow use case. And that's, I don't have a list of ones that might not be considered, you know, truly core for the whole country. But I know that some of them did kind of fall into that category of being less than widely applicable. So that's my only comment about, you know, why these or any other data elements didn't make the list.
And I assume what I anticipate is that we can, Mark, I know some of the elements that you're considering, and what I hope we can do over the course of our time is lean into specifics regarding specific elements. Like when we are re-elevating things that were, if we feel like we want to re-elevate concepts from level two from last year and have discussion again, maybe we can get more specifics on what might have not let it go forward from the transmittal letter into USCD V5 last year. So instead of having broad conversations, I really would love to hear specific conversations on some of the elements that came out of, you know, the care plan work last year and the diagnostic imaging work last year, if should the ISWG want to elevate them again. Does that make sense as an approach, friends, so that we can maybe try to understand context when we are talking about the specific elements in our work going forward instead of generally? Anna?
I just wanted to elevate this issue again, and I mean, to the point that Mark made, I think it would be really helpful if ONC could give, you know, either back to HITECH at least, especially an overview of why the various elements were accepted or not accepted, because that's really difficult to really get your head around sometimes. I mean, some of this stuff seems so incredibly basic, but understanding the logic as to why this stuff is not included is a little challenging at times. You know, I mean, I don't live and breathe this stuff, but I'm pretty close to it, or certainly more close than most people and, you know, the broader public. So it would be really helpful to understand the logic.
This is Steve. I think an alternative to going measure by measure or element by element and explaining why a particular element was not included might be a quick refresher on what things are looking at being, what concepts are being prioritized in looking at what elements are being included. So looking at scope impact or size or utility impact, and that may influence what information the work group includes in its recommendation to help ONC make it a better informed decision. So if there's a perceived impact that, you know, this particular element has a much larger impact than might have been originally perceived, that might be useful information in helping ONC improve the information available to it as it makes its decisions.
I think that's a very good point. And I, one of the things, first of all, I hear many people saying they didn't see this prior, and I'll be honest, I didn't either, even though I said it would be beneficial. So I think we're going to resend it again. It's probably just the hazard of emails, but we'll recirculate it to everybody else. We did ask for it because something like this analysis, and it's been asked for prior just because it's really helpful for orienting and grounding. So that will be resent to everybody. But one of the things I want to hold space for, and I am going to get your question, Anna, is it might be helpful now to pivot, maintain this historical reference and pivot to Al, who walked through exactly what Ike was saying. So the current USCDI V5 draft and the Google Doc and how we do the labor and how people are commenting and some of the columns that represent some of the considerations that are brought to bear from a standards space perspective. Ike, do you think that that's a good idea so that we can get to the work of 2024?
I think that's a wonderful idea. I did see a question in the chat about the Google worksheet. We'll get to that in a little bit, but I did want to acknowledge that question was there about how does one access the worksheet we're using for comments. But we'll get there.
Fantastic. Okay, so that's going to be, so Anna, do you have any questions on this document before we pivot to the working Google Drive document for USDI Draft V5?
No, I just I mean, we can move on. I think the more explanation that you can give to us about why something was accepted or not accepted, the better. Because when I talk to other patients or people who are interested in this, even people who are pretty well-informed about this stuff and tell them about laboratory values and, you know, some of these things are just like not included, even though they were recommended, their mind kind of is like, what on earth have we been doing over the past, you know, several years? So it just does, it isn't logical to somebody who isn't involved in the weeds. So to the extent to which that logic could be exposed, it would be very helpful and informative.
That makes a lot of sense. So what I hear consistently in the chat and from the questions is continued desire for transparency on how decisions are made regarding what gets into final drafts of USCDI versus what comes out of the labor of this committee. Does that seem fair to say? Like,
yes. Yes. I mean, it's out of respect for the amount of time that people devote to this as well.
Noted. Yeah. And this is, again, partly what's represented in this document is the history of that too, not just one episode of an ISWG, but over time. Noted and appreciated and echoed and hear you. And hopefully we'll continue to move toward that work. And now Al's going to take us to the this year's labor in the Google Doc that will be our work for draft UCIDP5.
Thank you, Sarah. And thanks to everybody. I'm also going to go through some kind of answer some questions that came up last time. They tend to keep coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the relationship between USCDI and US Corps, US Corps and the CCDA, the CCDA IGs, and how they and the timing, the timeline related to those, that relationship. Talk about navigating the USCDI website, how to submit public comments, which would be helpful to understand how they come in, and then what we do with them once we get them. And then talk a little bit about the standards bulletin as a resource to sort of guide the any comments that may come in on draft V5. And then including a part of the standards bulletin includes asking some specific questions. We're going to get into those specific questions that are more specific than the general charges that Sarah just went over. So the next slide talks about the next slide shows the CCDA releases that support, that directly support, or what I say is implement different versions of USCDI. So versions 1, 2, and 3 are supported by companion guides release 2, 3, and 4.1. 4.1 because we had to released a modification based on some issues with USCDI version 3, and then how release 4 represented it. What's missing here is version 4. Version 4 is represented in IGs by two IGs that are still in ballot reconciliation. They have not been finalized, so they're not listed here. But we expect them. They're in ballot reconciliation, and so once those become final and published, we'll be able to add these to the list to show the relationship between CCDA and USCDI versions. The next slide shows the relationship between USCDI and US Corps. And these are the versions of US Corps and the related to the versions of USCDI. I mean, there's two for USCDI version 1 because there was an update, a sort of complete the task on US Corps to fully represent what was in USCDI version 1. The next slide shows, this is a complicated slide, I apologize for it. This is a slide that HL7 put together, and it shows a relationship, the timing relationship between USCDI and this example is just US Corps. But what this shows, it shows and I think hopefully explains the lag time between our publication of USCDI and the even availability of, to adopt US CDI a particular version. So we publish our drafts in January. We publish our final in July. We published our final V4 last July. And then the process to develop the US core IG began. It did not begin before that because they HL7 was very busy publishing this version, US core 6.0.0. Actually, there's a 6.0.1 now. So there's a significant lag, and that's why we don't have, you know, US, we can't, health IT developers cannot adopt or update their systems to US CDI because the implementing IGs are not yet available. This cycle continues, and the ballot reconciliation IGs for US core for IG for US core is 7.0, and there is a corresponding IG working its way through ballot reconciliation for CCDA as well. So hopefully this explains kind of the timeline and the lag. But what I just really wanted, I think it bears repeating, is that US CDI most of the time leads. Leads to the development of the content in US core. When we publish a final version, we publish a final version only after a great deal of consideration of the impact on health IT developers, standards developers, implementers, providers. And we have done a lot of research to estimate that what we added to a version of US CDI is a reasonable burden in all of those areas. So we do not simply publish new data elements in a final version and hope that HL7 can catch up. We fully believe that what we put out is a reasonable amount of standards development burden and also the health IT development burden as well. Next slide. So this shows the cycle. I think I've shown this before, but it's a continuous process. This is only showing the US CDI cycles. And we intend to publish a final version of V5 after consideration of this body's work, all of the public comments that we get over the next 3 months. And we will attempt to reconcile all of those comments and publish US CDI version 5, the final version. Next slide. The first main bullet outlines the questions that we ask during this public feedback period, and it also is reflected in the work group charges. As a reminder, the deadline for public comments is April 15th, and that aligns with the work group's timeline and delivery of their final recommendations to the HITECH on the 12th of April. But in particular, what we're asking for, a little bit more detail than what we put in the charges, we're asking the public, and hopefully we'll get the same input from the HITECH on of the data elements that we did add to US CDI to draft V5. Are there changes that should be made to those? And anything is fair game for recommendations or comments on things that should change. We didn't get the definition right, which doesn't define the scope well. Did we provide examples and usage notes that make sense, that help implementers implement it, and whether or not the applicable standard was appropriate or other applicable other vocabulary terminology standards should be considered. In addition to the comments that we're looking for on draft V5, the new data elements in particular, we're also looking for any comments on level two data elements. And I showed the entire universe of level two data elements on last week's session. But are there things that we may have missed? And that could include the ones that Mark and Anna were talking about. Those are high-tech recommended data elements that did not make draft V5, or other data elements that any of the members feel like should be reconsidered. In addition to those comments on specific data elements, we're looking for overall, we're looking for feedback on what is perceived to be the potential barriers for development and implementation of these data elements. So we're asking kind of a broad set of questions. In addition to these broad set of questions, we're also asking about three in particular, in part because because of our adding it, we're not 100% sure how it should be scoped. And then in particular with the provenance data element, because we previously proposed author before publishing USCDI version 1 4 years ago, one of the reasons we didn't implement it is because we didn't adopt that particular data element into USCDI version 1 was because we got a lot of feedback that the infrastructure was not technically ready for assigning and exchanging author for all for all data elements, we propose it again because of the increased focus on patient generated data and how to assign data, how to designate that particular data is patient generated, came from a patient, came from a provider, came from a device, came from a family member. And we feel like author and author role combined would help communicate that particular aspect of data and be able to capture specifically that data is patient generated. We're also looking to see what has changed since 2020 when it was proposed as far as the technical infrastructure readiness for author. There's been a lot of work on provenance over the last 4 years. And we want to hear from folks how much of that work has been implemented. The next one is a little bit it's not quite as deep of a question. Lot number, as most people know, can apply to not just immunizations, but they're definitely apply to immunizations. They can apply to other things, other medications that might be recalled, might be involved with any medication safety events after initial marketing. So we have it currently listed as an immunization data element, but as we've said before, having a data element in one data class does not prevent its use. This concept of lot number is not unique to immunizations. Should it be scoped for to be more broad, even if it stays in the immunization data class? And so we're looking for feedback on that particular question. And then finally, test kit unique device identifier. This was previously recommended by the HITECH and many others. And we're looking for feedback on the extent and in particular scenarios and workflows in which this particular data element would be useful. And we're asking the question about this particular one because test kit unique identifier is one of several different kinds of specific unique device identifiers, a test kit being a UDI labeled product. And so this is a specific kind of UDI. We already have implantable UDI in USCDI and in certification. And this was proposed to be added as another particular unique device identifier, and whether or not it is useful enough and broadly applicable enough for enough scenarios that it warrants addition to USCDI. And then what, including what experience health IT developers have already in using and exchanging this element. These are the specific kinds of questions we would like feedback on. And if anyone has that, it can speak to experience using, exchanging this data element. We would like to hear from you. Next slide. So I'm going to just go briefly through several of the resources, and we'll culminate in the Google Doc that we were talking about. So we published some, in addition to the static PDF document for USCDI, we also publish, I hope that everybody can see this. I tried to zoom in as much as I could. We published draft V5. There's a little bit of detail about the publication of draft V5 in this on this tab. It shows all of the data elements that are part of draft V5, including existing and then new. There is an annotation that a particular data element is new to draft V5. And you can scroll through those to see, and just to highlight, these are the ones. So it's a little hard to pick out individual ones, and so the new ones are highlighted.
Hey, Al, sorry to interrupt, but we're still seeing the slide. So if we need to pivot right to a web page, we just need to give ourselves that heads up.
Hang on a second. Can I share my screen? Is that okay?
Go ahead, Al.
Okay. Well, I
should be able to now.
I'm really sorry about that. Okay, so this is the first one I wanted to go to talk to. So this is draft V5. It shows the new data elements compared to version 4. And you can look through this. You can focus on anyone in particular that you have some particular comments on. It could drive discussion in the workgroup, or it could drive personal individual comments through the commenting system. So this is one area that we would like feedback on. The other area that we're asking for specific feedback on is the level 2 data elements. And so on the level 2 tab, we indicate which of the data elements were added to draft V5. And so they're kind of listed in both places for now. When they become final, they will not be listed as level 2 anymore. They'll come off the level 2 list because now they're part of an actual final version of USCDI. So these are listed here, and in addition to either of these two tabs are fair game for comments, and in order to make a comment on the USCDI website, individuals have to register on the USCDI website, and then once they're registered, they can add comments simply by clicking on Add New Comment. And we're looking for as specific information as you can provide to inform a recommendation. We get notification. We have a management system that allows us to capture and analyze every recommendation, including every letter that's attached to that recommendation. And then we compile all of the comments by data element, by data class, and make the determination based on all of that feedback. If there's a significant amount of input on a particular data element that's not in draft V5, we will certainly give that strong consideration. If there's strong feedback on a data element in draft V5 that should not be there, we will also take that under consideration. So the comment process is pretty straightforward. The deadline for comments is April 15th at midnight. And so just remember, this will be all of the high-tech recommendations are converted into separate comments for us on our backend system. They don't show up here on the USCDI website, but they do show up on the high-tech website as well as in our backend comment processing system. So we take every recommendation, we consider every recommendation fully To help inform our decisions about the final version of USCDI. The other data, The other resource that I wanted to point to is the standards bulletin. Every time we publish a version of USCDI, we publish a supporting standards bulletin. The standards bulletin is published on our healthit.gov website, and it describes a background for USCDI and USCDI v5. It shows the new data elements that we've added. And then it goes into a little bit more detail about the hows and whys of why we added particular data elements. And so once after this description, we discuss other changes, including, and I've mentioned this before, we did make some changes to some data elements for version 4 data elements, we changed some things, including adding an applicable standard to the encounter location, and then made a few changes to how we reference a variety of different vocabulary standards, and then also some more minor changes to a number of different data elements. So those are listed here. The change log, for those interested in what has changed, the change log is an appendix to the standards document, and it's just a link to the back end of it's a link to the appendix in the standards document itself. Can be seen. It does not tab there. It does tab there. Okay. Bear with me while it opens the PDF to the right page. Nope, it didn't do it. So the change log is in the appendix of the USCDI standards document. And it explains, it notes the changes or what data elements did change. It doesn't always specify the change that was made. So this is another another resource for you to look at just to get an overall view of what's new to draft v5. The center of attention is going to be the work group, the work group spreadsheet, as we've done in past. The first 13 elements on this spreadsheet are the data elements that were added to draft V5, and that's indicated by column I, which shows that it's either a draft V5 data element, or it may have been added to. In encounter location, this is a draft V4. I'm sorry, this is a V4 data element that we added an applicable standard. I added this one because I think that's the most significant change. It's the most significant change to pre-existing data elements. And so that's listed here to try to elicit comments if there's any comments in support, comments against, however that falls out. Column J is for individual work group members to insert their comments. We see here that Stephen Lane has already stated his support of inclusion, and Hans asked a more detailed question related to US Core. There's some individual, the work group, So there's the individual plain text recommendation along with column K, which is the justification or any additional detail to support it. As we discuss individual data elements or individual recommendations in the work group, those will be recorded in column L. You will all come up with what the final recommendation, which is what will populate the recommendations letter transmittal to the national coordinator. So one other aspect, I know this has been of concern to several work group members. One of their aspects about these data element is how they're going to be represented in US Core and in CCDA. Um, as I've said before, those resources and those sections and those entries in US Core and CCDA have not yet been designed. And there's no definitive mapping, if you will, to where they would land in those IGs. We have done a lot of research, We actually sit on those work groups as those IGs are being developed, and we did again this time with the V4 data elements that are being written into those IGs. Whether there is an existing resource, an existing profile, an existing element of something in US Core CCDA or not, that is work that still needs to be done to finalize it. I had said in an earlier email that we would provide, that ONC would provide the products of that, our own internal analysis. We are not going to do that because that having shared our own thoughts and our own research, I think may cause some confusion or concern amongst members as to whether or not our statement of our own thoughts and research on it might be misconstrued as some sort of guidance or definitive answer. I just wanted to be clear that anybody's prediction about how this would end up in US Core or CCDA are really, it's a little bit more than speculative, but it's essentially speculative because we don't know how the work groups will address it, how they will map it. We had some mapping decisions made fairly late in the game for the version 4, for the IGs that support version 4. And so anything that we or the work group says right now is what is in US Core. Or what might be in US Core based on what's in other FHIR IGs or other CCDA IGs is just meant to inform what is felt to be the potential burden of development. Developmental burden is one aspect that will inform members' recommendation as far as whether to support or oppose its addition to USCDI. But that work is being done. The FHIR, projected resource. There's already been a lot of comments in on the FHIR IGs and the CCDA IGs, whether or not it ends up being difficult or not to do it, burdensome or not to do it, is just something that is yet to be seen. This is aspect that I know that I think that Hans and Ricky are working on, and probably others as well, to help populate that, to help help the work group understand what the potential burden is. The only other aspects on this spreadsheet is number one, this is a restatement of the prioritization criteria, which we're all familiar with, I think. It's listed here. It's listed on the USCDI. It's listed within the standards bulletin. So it can help members understand what sort of things were considered when the data elements were added to USCDI. And then all of the data elements, all of the data elements that are in V5 are added here just to show the whole scope. This is just another way of looking at the website, the level 2 website or the draft V5 webpage. And I think that is all of the things that I wanted to cover as far as resources available to the work group. And I can stop sharing and look at some questions and see if I can answer any of them.
Al, this is Steve. Thank you for the great presentation. Before we get into all the questions, in the chat, I saw one that pops up would be good to kind of address first. Remind us about, does inclusion in the US CDI mean healthcare providers have to use it? Does it have to be populated? Can you talk about that as a gentle reminder for folks?
Sure.
Popped up.
I think that's a question that comes up more or less constantly, and it bears repeating. Having a data element in US CDI means that if updated to that version of US CDI, health IT has to be able to demonstrate the ability to exchange the data element using the applicable standards if they are available. It does not mean that it has to be integrated into every workflow. It does not mean that every provider has to capture it every time for every encounter. And it doesn't mean that that data will be available to a patient if they were to access it through view, download, and transmit, for example. However, if the information is available and is in a system, we would expect that health IT could exchange it using a FHIR IG or an API, exchanging it in a CCDA or a CDA type document. That is the expectation, not that every provider has to capture it every time they see every patient.
We have some more. It looks like we have another question from Hans.
Thank you, Sarah. Just a comment on the prior note and then a question. A level setting, I think, for everybody those that might not have been part of it before. While USCDI does not require every provider to manage, collect, and otherwise address the data, any HIT, not just the HR, any HIT that wishes to be certified must support everything that is in USCDI. Because they're certified, they are software using the FHIR US Core and CCDA specifications. And that's where a clarifying question on process, and I made a comment in the spreadsheet as well for later on, but if you already have some thoughts around that, L will be great. You described very well the transition from USCDI, the timeline to get it into FHIR US Core, CCDA, discussions that need to occur to make sure that those that participate in the definition of the standards, that we know how to interpret it. And in the end, we get FHIR US Core and CCDA specifications out of that are to support USCDI. But what experience has taught us over the last couple of years, and we see a kind of a gap increasing over time as we get to the next version of UCDR, is that because of the interpretations and the decisions made, there are ambiguities in the UCDI definition, there are some interpretations. Otherwise, the scope, as you can interpret it from UCDI, when you put it next to the published version of UCDI and you put it next to the published version of the standards, is not totally in sync. And what I'm curious about is that what are some of the thoughts and for later, for I think for high tech to address as maybe some recommendations as well, how can we make sure that UCDI is then brought in line with and realigned with whatever comes out of FHIR US Core and CCDA, so that anybody reading either one of those comes to the same conclusion as to what data to expect from systems and providers that they reasonably can expect or look forward to having access to. What are some of the thoughts to close that gap after both are published?
Well, so I would say that I would reframe in answering that question. I would reframe it as, how does US Core and CCDA align with USCDI? Because that's the sequence of events. We publish USCDI, and then we work with HL7 to design, to help design these resources and data elements in a way that reflects ONC's intent for adding the data element. And so we have done that in the past. Where the design seems to be going in a direction that doesn't seem to meet ONC's intent, we weigh in, so that how that is reflected is does align with what ONC intends. And if there there might be some, particularly for previous, so data elements that were already mapped to a US core CCAIG, where there's ambiguity, as you said, or some uncertainty about, you know, what's meant by that, what's meant by a data element in USCDI, I would suggest that a comment on the ballot be made, because that is, you know, so the outcome of that ballot should be to reflect ONC's intent in exchanging these data elements. If there's a significant change in the definition to USCDI, for example, or the addition of the applicable standard as the case we proposed for encounter location, we would expect that during the design phase for the next version of US Core, to reflect that applicable standard in some way. And there's different ways that the IGs reflect applicable standards. Sometimes it is a binding to a vocabulary standard. Sometimes it's a binding to a translation of a code. But it varies how they reflect that. But we work very closely to make sure that what we think is the intent of this particular data element and why we wanted to add it in the first place is reflected in those IGs. So it's an intentional process, and we work before we publish a draft and after we publish a draft and after we publish a final to work very closely to make sure that that happens.
Thank you so much, Al. I want to just hold up one thing and then get to Pooja's question. I just want to ground ourselves in the fact that what we note, Al, thank you. This orientation was very, very helpful. The intent for this meeting is to ensure that everyone walks out of this meeting understanding how to engage, right? So that there is no knowledge gap and how to find historical information, how to add that information to the current Google Doc, how to add level 2 elements to the bottom of the doc. So I'm going to hopefully field one more question from Pooja, and then I just want to take us back to that Google document that is going to be the home of our core work and ensure that because we have about 26 minutes until public comment. I really want to make sure everyone feels like they get it, you know, that Google Doc element before we go to public comment. Pooja?
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. And so my question is probably a little bit related to that, and I'm still working through all the background stuff, but I couldn't remember. So USCDI Plus, which I know is completely separate than USCDI, but if we think that there's a data element that we end up wanting to recommend for USCDI Plus, is that an opportunity as well? I just don't remember from last year if we did that or not. So,
I think that a recommendation for adding something to USCDI Plus is out of scope of the work group. It doesn't mean that you can't, as an individual, recommend that, that we think this is a good candidate. The collection of data elements that make up a package of data, say for USCDI plus cancer, USCDI plus public health, those are determined by the sponsors of those groups. CCDA, cancer is our engagement with NCI. Public health is our engagement with is based on our engagement with CDC primarily, and other participants as well, of course. I would say that by all means make that recommendation, but to have the work group develop recommendations for USCDI Plus, I would say, is out of scope. And I don't think that there's we just simply don't have time, I don't think.
Okay, thank you. So I am wondering, do you agree that we should go, I think we should go to the Google Doc just one more time, because if there is a place where our next work needs to happen, it's asynchronously in that Google document that we all have access to. Al detailed the public normal process for, Al, do you wanna share? That'd be great. There's the public process for engaging and commenting on USCDI, and then there is the process that we utilize within our work group. Stephen was very kind. Even I put things in the wrong element. So if we scroll all the way to the left, there's some few basics. I want to make sure that all of us walk out of this meeting understanding. So every element has an entry number, right? And that is a definer that regardless of where it moves on the in the spreadsheet, that it defines that element. And then there is the hyperlinks on the elements in the data class and the data element. They can take you for more information. There's ONC's definition. And again, part of what we're doing as a work group is commenting on possible adaptations or changes to definitions, suggestions of aligned data elements, you know, questions of expansion of a data element. If we feel like the element itself needs additional elements in order to represent the full context. We saw this happen a lot last year with laboratory elements. And then there's column 8, which is the aligned vocabulary standards. And then you can see the column I is where we differentiate it between being a draft USCDI V5 element. And then eventually, and I'm going to take you there in a second, you'll see a level 2 identifiers there. And then here you can see where a lot of our work happens, right? So what we will be doing really is in J, K, and I for the foreseeable future. J is individual people putting their stamp on a recommendation for, that goes toward a final recommendation from the ISWG. You can see Hans and Stephen and ONC has brought forward some of those questions that matter to them. I also have some statements down below. If there's a rationale or justification, that goes in column K, right? And then there is an opportunity for discussion in column L. And we do want to note also that anything in column L is that work homework question was, if there's specific entities that we need to bring in as guest speakers, then we would want to identify that early in column L so that ONC and us as the co-chairs can help do the outreach on that. And then we moved toward crafting a final recommendation in column M. But J, K, and I, and along with the work that Hans and Ricky are doing with aligned standards, a lot of what we are doing now applies. One more thing, again, just so you all can state. So Al, would you mind scrolling down to the bottom? Up right down here, so starting really in row 21, 22. So Hans has put kind of a break there with some thoughts. This is where we will add any level 2 elements that we feel like need to be elevated. I think we have that here. Al's carrying entry numbers down. But so if either a past or new ISWG member wants to resurface a level 2 element we've discussed before, they will put align it with an entry number. They will put their name by it. They'll reference data classes and data elements and working definitions. And then we'll have conversation regarding that in this meeting. I just want to make sure that everyone knows that process before we leave. And then Ike or any other ISWG members, if I've misstated anything, please let me know. But I don't want to leave this meeting without those core elements being in hand. Hans?
Yeah, just a quick process question. I put in two rows there with general process. They're not specific classes, but they are process focused. Is that indeed the correct place to do it? Also recognizing is that the warning message doesn't like the word general process. So make sure that I did it in the right place.
I would defer to the co-chairs on that. capturing it, if it's going to end up being a recommendation on general process, then you know, this would be a place to capture that, unless the commissioners want to capture out of scope issues separately.
I hear that. I don't know where else we'd comment a document.
Fine here. Here's fine.
I can adopt.
Yeah, I think the only other alternative would be another tab, and that could get confusing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So just revisiting. So Hans, thank you for that question. Any other questions from any new member or past member on where we do the work and how the work gets done? So we will be making recommendations on the USCDI draft V5 elements that are in row 13 and above, entry, I should say. And then we'll also be adding, if we desire to do so, level 2 elements down below.
I guess the only thing I would suggest perhaps is adding a tag after general process OOS or something of that ilk. So some indicator that there's a suggestion that it might be out of scope.
Okay, so Mark has a question. Okay, so I think some way to identify it that's on this sheet, but maybe not in the same column as a new data class. I bet we can figure that out, but I think we've all agreed that taking it to a different tab might be confusing. And thank you. I think we can figure that out in between now and our next meeting.
And it should be the exception rather than the rule. So it shouldn't be, I'm hesitant to add it as a completely separate column as a separate indicator, because then you also have to address all of the standard things that are in scope.
And then just as a reminder for folks that are entering comments in, that you put your name as the advocate for it in column D.
So just to reiterate what's being said in the chat, I do feel like it's great to get any level 2 recommendations in as soon as possible, especially because they often are elements that require voices from external experts in order to elevate it and discuss it appropriately. And again, the intent of this time is to make sure that all members understand how to engage. So I'm sensing the lack of question means that we feel comfortable with this. Navigating asynchronously in the Google Doc, adding our comments in the appropriate columns. I'm sensing yes from new members. All right, and again, there's good thing is there's some precedent. Again, so if we go back to column J and K, you can see there's precedent from early commenters and leaders who are able to see how the template might be completed. So the task really is for us to just ensure that we review current recommendations and offer commentary if we have commentary to be made in them before our next meeting. If you have questions about the Google document itself, this would be the time to do it. I really want to make sure everyone, Stephen, has a question, then maybe Rochelle's question.
More just a comment. Again, I try to set a little bit of an example. You know, the supporting the inclusion, you don't need to add another line for anyone who wants to add their support. Just add your name, and you know, and then we can make a pile there.
Thank you so much. And then it looks like we have a couple questions in the chat. So Rochelle, if you can raise your hand and ask your question, and then I'm going to review the chat just to make sure again that every member walks out of here understanding the task. Rochelle?
Yes, hi, thank you. I was just wanting to clarify that as we're utilizing the document, and maybe we might have forgotten something from what you've explained today, which thank you so much for going over this, would there be an opportunity to say, either email one of you to say, is this where you want it to be? And identifying if you just wanted to sign on. So thank you for the prior comment. That was the second question that I had. If you just wanted to agree with what somebody had already written, it's just adding your name.
Yes, that is very much the precedent we've used before, like a plus one.
Thank you so much. And so there's not anywhere that we could email if we forgot to put it in. I just don't want to mess up the document.
Oh, you can always reach out for guidance. Okay. And, you know, we do have versions. So I would say engage with your expertise, and then we're here to assist if you want. Like, as I remember last year, there were so many members who were helpful to me, who were, kind of like handmaidens as I went through this process. So I'm happy to be that myself. And then all of us are here to make sure your expertise is brought to the work at hand.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
It looks like I found, Katrina, a question here. So Al, if you can see that, so a question at 10:43 a.m. From a question on process that I actually don't think we've addressed yet, which is regarding seeing some differences in the PowerPoint from last week and online. Is online the source of truth, for example, maternal SDOH note in LV2 in PowerPoint and level one online? Al, can you assist with that one?
If I could ask Katrina, to point out the differences so I can address them specifically.
Sure. Do you want me to send you an email with like screenshots?
Well, just, I mean, if you can just like what was the difference? What kind of idea was the difference?
On the PowerPoint, maternal SDOH clinical note was listed, I believe, in the all level two slide. And online, okay. I found it in level one. And so in the idea of what may progress from level two, I didn't know if it was under consideration or not. And there were a couple
that might be a typo. That may, yeah, can you send me an email? We'll reconcile that. Okay. I don't know. I don't know. The question about leveling is a fair question, but when there's a discrepancy. So the answer to your question is online, and online is the source of truth.
Great. Perfect.
Thank you. It was translated in the slides incorrectly, I think.
Okay. That's what I was figuring. Thank you.
Any other questions on process, understanding that this, again, the intent of this meeting was to ensure that everyone understood how to do the work at hand. We have about 10 minutes before public comment. We could go to public comment early if we feel like we want to reflect on process, you know, and go into the Google document and then come in next meeting ready to maybe even move some things along. We have, just as a note, one of our historical ways of moving through draft recommendations is to anything that is very clearly consensus, we try to address early in our work, just try to narrow the scope of things that might need more robust conversation. So when we come back, it might be helpful to review some of those elements. And then we have a history of color coding them, understanding that we want to make sure that we're being accessible to people with the colors that we choose. And then we can plan our conversations for some of the more complex elements. But I don't want to leave this meeting without having everyone understand the process. It seems like we're good. And again, Al has been amazing. And Al, thank you again. One thing was very clear is the orientation that you gave, it would be helpful for people beyond us. Insofar as making the work that happens at this committee transparent to other people in the ecosystem. So thank you so much. Seth, Wendy, Al, any other thoughts? Ike, before, again, I think probably be smart to let people digest this before we actually start discussing elements next week.
I'm just scrolling through the comments. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to review them while I was presenting, but Mark asked a question about, maybe this has already been answered, but like how does one propose level two data elements? I think you discussed that, Sarah. You know, we're just add a level two, because we don't know which level two data elements anyone might recommend. So just add them here, scroll over to where it says You know, this is in column I, say this data element came from level two, and then what your recommendation is. And it could be something as simple as add it or add it Y. And you know, the member recommendation is, you could call it a draft of the work group recommendation. So like Stephen said, state it succinctly, and then provide your justification and discussion in column K. That did answer your question, right, Mark?
Yes, thanks so much.
Yeah, sure. I don't have anything else.
Okay, so I'm going to highlight again, and it looks like Seth is ready. This will come out again. We're truly trying as co-chairs to get you the homework early, because we have an early meeting on Tuesdays. What we are hoping to achieve is to have your comments documented in this doc asynchronously. If there are level two elements that we hope to consider within our charge, we hope to have them added with a member, leader, a member of reference. And again, we really do want to make sure that if there are more complicated elements that we need further information on, that we need external experts for, that we document that as well, so that ONC and the co-chairs can coordinate those guest speakers. If all of those things are in hand, Ike, anything further to add? It looks like we might have lost Ike. So I'm going to transition back to you, Seth. I think we can go back to the slides.
All right, thank you, Sarah. And if we could go to the public comment slide, thank you, Estelle. So at this point, we're going to open up the meeting for public comments. If you are a member of the public on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the raise hand feature. That's located in the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you are participating today by phone only, you can press *9 to raise your hand, and then once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So we'll just give that a few seconds to see if we have any public comments. Okay, not seeing any public comments, and I'm also not seeing any hand raised. So we'll conclude our public comments. And I'll just, again, as a couple of reminders, based on questions we saw in the chat from earlier in the call, we will include the link to the mapping document that showed prior high-tech recommendations to USCDI V4 and draft V5 in the homework document. Or in the homework message, so you'll have that resource if you otherwise missed it in your email. And then, as Sarah highlighted, we'll be looking to coordinate on upcoming topics, and if you have thoughts on any additional kind of external experts to invite to present or be a part of those conversations, we welcome those thoughts as well. So with that, I will turn it back to Sarah to close us out.
I just want to say thank you again to ONC for helping with this really, really important orientation to the work. Again, we really want to make sure all of your expertise is laid to bear, and I hope this orientation helped. At that, I just want to note that based on past process, this is probably one of the only ISJWG meetings that will end early. Once we get into the actual review of the data elements, every moment is precious. So I'm happy to end this meeting early once the process elements are in hand. And we look forward to kicking off the work full steam ahead next week. And again, based on the past work, it is a really in-depth, very, very fascinating course of work until April 11th. So we will see you next week.